You are Locked On Hawks, your daily Atlanta Hawks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello, friends, and welcome to episode 275 of the Locked On Hawks podcast. I am your host, Brad Rowland, coming to you live from Phillips Arena on a Sunday afternoon slash evening, and joining me on a live podcast in the same room, Jeff Siegel. What's up, man?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm good. The Hawks lost, of course. This is the sixth consecutive loss for the Hawks by a final score of 117 to 106. The Hawks got down by as many as, like, I believe it was like 23 was the biggest lead. They did make a nice little comeback in the fourth quarter, slashed the lead to 10 or 11, and then the Bucks sort of put things away with haste. Not a huge surprise that the Hawks lose this game. Obviously, they entered the game as a 5.5-point underdog, and without Ilya Sov in the lineup, sort of a shorthanded version of the Hawks. And Milwaukee is better than the Hawks right now. That's sort of the overarching theme here. And we can talk about a lot of different things. First and foremost, I know a lot of people were sort of surprised that Bud elected to, on the record, say that he was going to start with Mike Muscala and Giannis Antetokounmpo. Obviously, it's no one's fault that Giannis went off for 33 points and 11 rebounds, 5 assists in 38 minutes. But it does strike people as a little bit surprising, and we talked about this beforehand, offline, you and I did, about the decision to start with that sort of traditional lineup with Muscala at the 4. What did you think about that in general and just how that sort of played out?
I think we had talked about the fact that they might start with Taurean Prince at the 4 and go a little smaller to start the game and just throw Prince on Giannis. That's, you know, Prince is the prototypical guy that you would want to guard somebody like Giannis, so you'd think, you know, just start small and roll with that. But they started with Muscala, and we thought, you know, maybe that was not the best decision in the world, but it ended up, like, obviously, Giannis played very well and went off a little bit, but, you know, I thought Muscala played quite well and wasn't his fault that Giannis really played as well as he did.
Yeah, it was it's actually kind of funny. I understand the immediate reaction was one of kind of bewilderment, because obviously Muscala is not known for his defensive lockdown potential, and Giannis is obviously a top 10 player in the league, even conservatively at this point in time. With that said, Frank Madden, a good friend of the program, used to host the Locked On Bucks podcast, at least at times. Frank mentioned that throwing length at Giannis was probably a good idea. Obviously, that didn't necessarily slow him down, but didn't hate it as much as some people did. I will say, Mike had a couple of highs and lows in this game, made some jump shots, so it wasn't like he played poorly. And really, honestly, Giannis was great. I honestly think that Chris Middleton was almost a bigger problem for the Hawks, especially in the second half of this game. Giannis had a big first half, and Middleton sort of struggled out of the gate. But in the second half, Middleton, for the record, finished with 27 points, 9 assists, and 7 rebounds, and was a game best by a huge margin with a plus 26. So basically, he was in there for all the good parts for Milwaukee and out of the game for all the bad parts for Milwaukee. Without giving too much on the Bucks, I didn't want to sort of run down the way that we normally would on the pod, talk about a couple of guys. Taurean Prince had the most interesting lineup than that, I would say. Took 20 shots, was 7 of 20, 3 of 9 from 3. Bud talked a little bit about him in the postgame. But, he played very well on Friday. Not quite as well here, I didn't think, but Bud seemed to be pretty high on the way he played, aside from the efficiency stuff, of course. What'd you see from Taurean tonight?
I thought Taurean, just, building on what he did on Friday, was really good at sort of getting into the lane. He wasn't finishing as well, but, I think he's slowly sort of getting that consistency down where, last year and even at the beginning of this year, we were seeing, one good game and a couple bad. Now now he's put together two back-to-back pretty solid games, even though this game doesn't pop on paper, doesn't look great, his numbers aren't fantastic. I thought he played particularly well, a little bit even on both ends. He got his shot at Giannis, as we expected, and he was still overmatched, as almost everybody is at this point against Giannis, but I think he did play pretty well.
Yeah, I think, I was at least – I had a little bit of an eyebrow raise when Bud said that. I believe he said he thought this was Taurean's best game of the season, or at least close to it. I'm not sure, as you kind of mentioned there, the box score says that. But, him taking 20 shots is not the greatest thing in the world, but I'm okay with it. I'm always okay with Taurean being aggressive. There was one very, very nice side pick and roll with Taurean and John Collins, and I believe it was in the third quarter, that sort of popped to me as something that we could see a lot in the future. Taurean's maturity as a ball handler in that kind of pick and roll sense is not all the way there yet, but some encouraging signs there. And defensively, I thought he at least competed. One of the things with Torian that I worry about is that he's a little bit overrated on defense right now, but I thought he was pretty good here. Played 38 minutes, which surprised me a lot. We talked about that before we started recording, but he was the only guy above 35.5. And that's probably one of the higher minute totals that you'll see this entire season from a Hawk in a regular in a regulation game. I don't think you'll regularly see, as we know with Mike Budenholzer, a lot of guys playing in that 38-minute range, but I was okay with it. I mean, Notorian's kind of indispensable on this team right now.
Yeah, I mean, he's, especially with Brusino not playing hardly at all, Prince is really the only three on the whole roster. So, you know, you might as well throw him out there and see if he can handle a 38-minute load and still, you know, play consistently well, which he did, I thought, tonight, even if the box score doesn't sort of bear that out. You know, he had a couple of decent passes, especially with that on that side pick and roll you're talking about with Collins. You know, things are looking up for Prince, and I think it's, you know, as he puts these games together, it'll continue to get better.
Yeah, there was some worry early on in the year when he was kind of struggling a little bit, but I think, Bud's mentioned repeatedly just the consistency from Torian. He was kind of famously having one good, one bad early on, but to have a couple good games in a row here is very encouraging for him. I want to hit on Kent Bazemore a little bit. It was 2 of 9 from the floor, got to the line again 10 times. It's something that Baze has done quite a bit this year, is getting to the line and being efficient a little bit in that way, despite not shooting necessarily the greatest from the field. I know you talked about offline with me some of his passing, so I wanted to ask you about that, what you've seen with him as sort of a creator, because, you know, for better or worse, he has the ball in his hands a lot right now.
Yeah, he's got the ball in his hands a ton, especially with Bembry out and the backup point guard situation a little bit in flux, which we'll probably get into in a minute here. He's really the secondary creator, almost a sort of secondary primary creator. And when I talked to Kent just now, and he was talking about, like, he called himself a primary ball handler, and he's taken a lot of pride in his ability to find guys open and sort of get to the rim in the same way that Dennis does, but, you know, even putting more of an emphasis on that passing. And so I think it's something that he's been working on, you know, in practice and all summer, as he knew that he was going to, you know, have a bigger role in creating offensively. And, you know, we saw it tonight, even though he was only 2 for 9 from the field, he was getting to the rim, he was getting fouled, he was finding guys, you know, on the roll and, you know, spot up shooters in the corner. So I think, you know, his ball handling and passing has gotten a lot better over last year.
Yeah, Kent's always been turnover prone to a little bit, to an extent. He had 4 in this game, but did have 6 assists, and I think his passing has just been visibly better. I still don't think Kent's this, like, great, you know, wizard of a passer, but it was definitely a weakness of his. I'm not sure if you agree with that. I think you probably do, but not one of his strengths in the past, but some good maturity from him there, and some good growth, because, you know, I think ideally still you don't want the ball in his hands quite a bit, but this Hawks team kind of just needs him to have the ball in his hands, take up some possessions, because they don't really have a whole lot of that creation, as we kind of talked about ad nauseum. But I thought Kent was pretty good here, despite the fact that he didn't shoot the ball well. Let's talk about backup point guard now, because you mentioned that sort of in passing. Malcolm Delaney did not play in the second half of this game, which was noteworthy. I won't say that it was a problem, because Isaiah Taylor was just better. Taylor played 16 minutes in this game, had 7 points, 2 assists, and was 2 of 3 from the floor, 1 of 1 from three. Bud sort of praised him after the game, was asked about him, and definitely shined a light on some positives there. But Malcolm did play in the first half, played 7 minutes, was minus 11. That's probably a little bit fluky in how bad it was, but we could have seen a little bit of a changing in guard, perhaps. I'm not going to say that I assume that, but it's definitely something that is now in play, because if you don't have a guy play the entire second half in a game where he seemingly wasn't hurt, we saw him in the locker room, seemed like he was just fine, so we could have maybe seen a change of the guard here.
Yeah, I think so. I mean maybe not, you know, full blown. We'll probably see more Delaney. We're not going to see Delaney completely excised from the rotation, but we, you know, I think there's a battle here and at the backup point guard position. I think, you know, we're going to see more of Taylor going forward, because he can just do so many things that Malcolm can't. You know, and if Malcolm's not hitting a shot, and, you know, defensively he's still fine, but he's nothing otherworldly, you know, what is he really bringing that Taylor's not bringing to the table? I think, you know, Taylor's quicker, can get in the lane, a more willing passer, like Bud said, post game. You know, so I think, you know, it, you know, sort of is what it is with Taylor versus Delaney, you know, especially with Taylor being a younger guy. You know, they can really sort of invest in him in the future. And, you know, Delaney's a little bit older, going to be a free agent. Like, they might start looking toward the future a little bit more at that backup spot.
Yeah, it's tough to blame him. I like Isaiah Taylor. I've been impressed with what I've seen. It's a very small sample, and we don't have a huge sample on him. But listen, I mean, Delaney's sample last year was the team was good when he was on the court, but it wasn't like his individual brilliance was really there either. So I think defensively, Delaney's a little bit bigger, can present some some different stuff, but Taylor's a lot quicker, definitely better at getting into the lane, and I think probably a better pass from what we've seen from a pure point guard perspective. So a couple of he had one sort of incredible pass in the lane and a couple of really nice facilitation possessions. So I've been impressed. I don't think it's always going to be this rosy for Taylor, because if he was this good, he'd probably be playing a little bit more and be other places, but I do like him quite a bit, and we might see more of him early on. As you kind of mentioned there, Bud's been playing 3-point guards every game since Bembry left the table, which isn't it's not a shock, because they don't have a ton of wings. I don't think Bud's ready to play guys like Prassino and Tyler Dorsey yet, and as a result, he's been playing 3-point guards, but in the second half, only played two, so we'll keep an eye on that for Wednesday in Philly. But it wouldn't blow me away if we saw Taylor in the game first, although same goes for Delaney playing, because you know, we've kind of seen this happen before last year, even with Jose Calderon, and then there were still games where Delaney came in and played, and Bud was kind of hesitant to go in that full direction. So it's just something to keep an eye on for the future, because that was not a shock, but a little bit of an eyebrow raise that he never played in the second half of this game. Big men, we should talk about a little bit. Dwayne Dedmon, I thought was fine in this game, but was minus 20. Pretty much the entire starting lineup outside of Bazemore was bad in terms of plus minus, which is to be expected. But Dedmon only played 17 minutes, did have a little bit of foul stuff early on, but you know, kind of just a notable disappearing act from him and not playing a ton. Collins played 25 minutes, was very good in his minutes, 14 points, 7 rebounds, and a plus 9, and then Mike Muscala, of course, started at power forward but ended up playing some center in the second half alongside Luke Babbitt when the Hawks are trying to make their run offensively. What did you see from that sort of rotation? Obviously, we've kind of seen what it's going to be now with Collins. He's been playing center exclusively, all that fun stuff. But I guess we can start with Dedmon and Muscala, kind of whatever you saw from those guys that you want to mention.
I think Dedmon, it's interesting that he only got those 17 minutes. I think it's sort of shows that Muscala was playing a little bit better than he has in the past, even if the numbers don't bear it out, and even if people are still sort of on him about his play. I think Muscala played a lot of center in the second half, a lot with Babbitt at the four, which isn't great, but a lot of small ball even with Prince at the four. They did that a little bit in the third quarter and early fourth, and they sort of got on a run and cut the lead to 10 before Giannis came back in and the Bucks sort of put it away. But you know, I think that run came with Muscala at the five and Prince at the four for the most part. And so I think, you know, I think that's Muscala's best position. We've been talking about that, about how, you know, playing him at power forward is not his best position. And that puts him in situations like we've seen over the last few games where he doesn't play very well. And it's sort of one leads to the other. And it's not really Muscala's fault. It's just sort of the way the team is set up and the way Collins is, of course, playing that backup center role.
Yeah, there is I've said this before, but you know, I think Muscala is a fourth big ideally, but a fourth big that really needs to be paired with people that the Hawks just don't have. I think probably right now his best partner in terms of just pure skills is John Collins, but in that alignment, really they've been leaning on Collins in terms of playing center. I think the Hawks don't really have the type of power forward that you would ideally pair with Muscala, but at the same time, they're obviously not going to be prioritizing partners with Muscala moving forward, because he's a role player. He's a fourth, fifth big on a good team. So just something to keep an eye on there. Collins, we kind of talked about all the time, but I do want to ask you, since I have you here, a lot of Hawks fans want him to start. I don't think it matters per se that he starts. I think it's more about minutes for me. He played 25 in this game, played more than Dedmon, but I think that's always been something that especially fans want to point to, is that Collins isn't starting. But is he the best option right now? I do understand that, you know, Bud wants to keep a rookie like him on a short leash. I think defensively there's still some concerns, but offensively he's the best big they have right now. So what do you think about that in general and him, at least the potential of him starting? Is I'm a little bit skeptical that Bud's actually going to do it, but should he do it?
I don't think he should. I think I'm with Bud on this. I think Dedmon's clearly a better player right now than Collins is, and whether that should matter for this team, you know, particularly, I don't, you know, that's sort of the balance that they're going to have to strike. But I think Dedmon is clearly, even though he was, you know, sort of didn't play as much in this game as he has in other games, I think Dedmon was fine tonight. He was still, you know, just as good as he normally is. And so it's important to sort of balance those two against each other and have Collins, you know, play a lot of minutes as that backup center role and get his feet wet early in this season. And maybe, you know, you can go to him down the stretch as the starter, you know, especially later on in the season. But I think for now, I think you got to play Dedmon at center.
Yeah, I just think, I mean, those two guys are basically the only guys playing center most of the time. Muscala did play some in this game. That has been sort of an outlier because he has not played a whole lot of center. I think if Muscala is going to play center, then it becomes a problem with, in terms of minutes, because you want Collins to play a lot. But he still managed to play 25 in this game, so it wasn't as if he just disappeared either. So keep an eye on it. I just want Collins to play. I don't really care if he starts, frankly. And I think there's been a lot of calls from the fans as to whether they should be playing Collins and Dedmon together. I think it's not the worst thing in the world, but Bud just seems to have no interest in it whatsoever, which I'm okay with. I think Collins is a center. That's just my opinion. Some fans disagree, but I think Bud is kind of pretty much dug in on that and even acknowledged it in what he wants to say as well. So just something to monitor, but I think for now, and that'll be my answer going forward, is that Bud sees him as a center.
I think offensively, it really doesn't matter. And a lot of the guys have, you know, both Bud and the big men that I've talked to in the locker room, that they don't care who plays the four and who plays the five. You know, a lot of their sets, they run with two screens on either side of the ball handler. One guy rolls and one guy pops. Everybody on this team, you know, from the big man perspective, can do both pretty well. And so it really, offensively, it doesn't matter whether Collins is playing the four or the five. He can play with Dedmon, I'm pretty sure. The way Dedmon can space the floor, the way Collins can, you know, hit some mid-range jumpers and probably will extend that out to three in the near future. You know, I think that offensively is really not the issue. It's really more defensively. Where do they think that Collins can play at this point defensively? And the answer usually is not much, just because he's not that great on that end at this point. But, you know, I think it's better for him to play center defensively with somebody, you know, like Ilyasova when he comes back, like Muscala, I guess. That's good for Dedmon. It's not so great for Muscala, just to keep him. Or it's good for Collins, and it's whatever. it's you know, it's been a long day for us here. But I think, you know, for Collins, offensively, it really doesn't matter which position he plays. Defensively, he's probably better as a center, even though he's not particularly strong at either position.
Yeah, I think Collins' best partner in the front court is Ilyasova, which also goes for Dedmon. So both those guys are going to be at their best this year when they're playing with Ilyasova, because, frankly, Ilyasova is just the best power forward on the roster. That's not a huge surprise there. So, you know, without him, that was a huge loss in this game. No, not necessarily defensively, because I'm not sure he would have done much to slow down Giannis, but Ilyasova is just the best offensive option at power forward by a pretty wide margin. So, you know, it's sort of a low-key loss, because it's not like he's this, like, flashy guy, but Ilyasova is just very, very competent, and that's a huge absence. You know, by the way, it was announced before the game that he'll miss 1 to 2 weeks with a knee bruise. You know, it's kind of a sketchy timetable, but it looks like he's definitely going to be out on Wednesday in Philly, so we'll keep an eye on that. But Ilyasova is a very valuable piece to the rotation that they probably can't afford to be without for long, especially while DeAndre Bembry is also out. That's two of your top eight guys on a team that's already not obviously going to be the greatest this year, so we'll keep an eye on that. I don't know. That's probably all we need to do in terms of you know, specific players other than Dennis Schroeder, I guess. He played. This was his second game back from an injury. 21 points, 8 assists. I thought Dennis was fine here defensively. It's an adventure for me, but offensively, I thought he played pretty well here. What did you see from him?
Yeah, I think offensively, he's right back to where he was. You know, he was. You know, he can get in the lane. He's incredibly quick. He still has his issues finishing around the basket. He hit a couple of threes, I believe, in this game, which, you know, is nice to see. He missed one, you know, really bad pull-up three, but I think he made both of his spot-up threes, if I remember correctly. And I think, you know, that's sort of what you're looking for from him, is, you know, don't take so many wild shots. I thought he's sort of cut down on his mid-range jumpers a little bit better than he was in the first few games on the road. You know, I think even, you know, over both Friday and tonight, I think he played, you know, he was better at not taking so many of those mid-range jumpers that we know are sort of inefficient shots, not just for him, but, you know, pretty much for everybody. You know, he's creating a little bit more. He's you know, finding his teammates a little bit more. I think the ball movement has been a little more infectious over the last couple of games, even if the results haven't quite been there, especially in the first quarter tonight. But I think he was fine. I mean, defensively, like you said, it's, you know, always an adventure with him. He gets lost. He stops trying sometimes, which is sort of inexplicable. But, you know, it just sort of is what it is with him.
Yeah, it's been frustrating a little bit defensively. I thought it might get a little bit better this year, but it hasn't really happened yet. You know, he's not fully healthy, so that's, you know, worth monitoring a little bit in terms of him being all the way back from the injury. But even before that, it was not looking great defensively. So any hope that I had of, like, a huge bounce back there is probably out the window. It's still a small sample, but he doesn't look particularly engaged on that end of the floor. Last thing before I let you get out of here, man. Defensively in general, you know, the Hawks gave up, I believe it was 118.4 today in terms of defensive rating. It's a one-game sample, but still allowing a lot of threes and allowing a lot of open threes. Rashad Vaughn hit four threes off the bench. A lot of them were, I think maybe all of them were wide open. What are you seeing from the defense in general, because at least coming into the year, I think we kind of all agreed that the Hawks would be better defensively than they were offensively. But a lot of open threes, especially, that's always been the Achilles heel of the Hawks, even when they were really good the last few years. But what are you seeing in general from the defense? Because I think it's probably lagging behind what a lot of people thought it might be.
Yeah, I think, the important thing tonight was that Giannis was just getting into the paint. And
superhuman?
Yeah, he was ridiculous. And so, everybody collapsed on Giannis every single time he had the ball. They were playing 10 feet off of him, and he would still just roll right to the rim, and everybody collapses, and then if he can find the shooters, Milwaukee's got the shooters to knock those shots down, and Rashad Vaughn hit 4 threes, and that's just the way that goes, and it's not out of character for Rashad Vaughn to hit 4 threes if he's wide open on all 4 of them. It's that's just, that's pretty much par for the course. He's, he can get his shots up for sure.
That's the one thing he does.
That's really the thing he does, and he did it very well against a Hawks team that loves to collapse on the paint. And it's, obviously it's worked for them in the past, and it will continue to work for them against teams that don't have superhumans on their team. I think that's, it didn't work against the Cavs in the playoffs because they have LeBron James, and it doesn't work against the Bucks because they've got Giannis, and it's just sort of, against a more normal team, against a more normal sort of player than Giannis, I think it'll be better.
Yeah, that's what I was saying kind of throughout the game, especially in the first half, was that this is just an awful matchup for the Hawks. It was made even worse without Ilyasova, but even if they had Ilyasova, this is just a terrible matchup for the Hawks in basically every way. Milwaukee's already better than them, and the Hawks aren't, you and I have talked about this numerous times. The Hawks are not going to be great this year by any means, but it's a particularly bad matchup for them in basically every way. A lot of that is Giannis, but even then, it's just the pure length that they have and the way that they can, especially, again, without Ilyasova, having to go with a big lineup and not really having a natural backup power forward on this entire roster. It's tough. It's just one of those things where certain teams match up better. There'll be a couple times this year where the Hawks match up better with teams like we saw in the opener with Dallas. It kind of surprised people how good they look. That's a great matchup for the Hawks. This is not a great matchup for the Hawks. That's kind of the long short of it.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. They're going to come up against these teams with superhumans at the 3 and the 4 with LeBron, with Kawhi Leonard, with Kevin Durant. When the Hawks come up against those guys, it's tough because they just don't really have anybody who can really defend that spot. Prince is sort of, in theory, that guy, but he's really not in practice. And so they're throwing out Muscala. They threw out Prince. Bazemore got a shot at Giannis at the end of the game. Nothing particularly worked that well. At that point the game was pretty much out of hand, but nothing is gonna work for this team against those kind of guys.
Yep. On the bright side, it was a good offensive performance. They scored 107.3 offensively. If they do that on a regular basis, that'll be pretty good for this Hawks team. I think that's about as good as you can ask for in terms of an average. So, anyway, Jeff, I appreciate you joining me, man. I know it's nice to have you in town. This is not going to be a permanent thing, unfortunately, because Jeff lives in San Diego, for those of you that want to follow Jeff's life closely. But listen, it was fun to do it. Anything else you want to say before we get out of here? By the way, we're being kicked out of the arena at some point here shortly. They're trying to break down this room that we stole.
Yeah, we should probably get going out of here, but it's been great the last couple games to be in town, and hopefully I'll be able to come back later this season.
Yeah, it'd be good, and otherwise you're stuck with just me, folks, so I'm sorry about that. This will be the Monday show, of course, and then we'll be back again. A couple of off days here, so I may not do a show one of these 2 days in between games, but you'll have at least one more between now and the game against Philly on Wednesday. That's the next time that we'll see you guys. But between now and then, please subscribe to the show. If you missed it, there was an announcement over the weekend and into last week that we've changed platforms, so we're now on Megaphone. That doesn't really change anything unless you are an Audio Boom person that goes straight to Audio Boom. That's going to have to change from now on, but please subscribe to the podcast, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play. I had some people talk to me about Google Play, and I promise we're still there, so check us out there as well. Thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll see you guys later on in the week.